All right, so those of you who are into making passive income, I am thrilled to have the following guest on my show. It has been so awesome watching this guest blow up in terms of just not literally, that would be weird, but like literally in terms of making money, helping others, creating her best life. And she is just the nicest person ever. So you can't even hate on her. You know, when there's like that person who's like super beautiful and they laugh like a horse, so you can't hate them? She's that girl. So thrilled to have Michelle Schroeder-Gartner from Making Sense of Sense on the show today. Hi, Michelle. How are you doing?
Hey, I love the introduction you just gave me. That was pretty funny. Thank you.
I actually have a friend who's like a Swedish model, like no joke, but she laughs like a horse. So you can't hate on her. Like it's so annoying, but she's so sweet. Same thing. It's like, for those of you who are new to Michelle, she's making bank. We're going to get into this story. But Michelle, I really wanted to talk to you about actually building up your income to the first $10,000 months, where each month you knew that that was going to come in. I would love for you to kind of share who you are and what you do, and then we'll get into it.
Yeah, so my name's Michelle Schroeder-Gardner. I run the personal finance blog Making Sense of Sense. I started it back in August of 2011. Back then, it was all just completely a hobby. I didn't know that blogs could make money. I didn't know that there were such a thing, such as like blogging businesses. I didn't know about like income reports or anything like that. I honestly did not know that blogs could make money. I started Making Sense of Sense as just a way for me to talk about my personal finance journey, how I was paying off debt, how I was living paycheck to paycheck, and stuff like that. It was basically just like a diary or a journal. So it was just a great way to talk about money openly. And then the personal finance community was so amazing then, and it still is now. And it was just a great way to stay motivated with finances. It was around 6 months after I started Making Sense of Sense, and that's when I earned my first $100 through my blog, and that was through a sponsored post. A fellow personal finance blogger actually connected me with an advertiser, and it all started from there. After that, I want to say it was about 6 months after that, or about a year after I started Making Sense of Sense, I was making around $1 to $2,000 a month through my blog and online work. And it was around 2 years after I started my blog, I actually left my day job to blog full time. So it grew pretty quickly, and I've been full time blogging for over 5 years now.
So the thing that neither one of us have really said is Michelle makes over $100,000 a month now. That's that like small piece of information that neither one of us threw out there. And I felt that actually that can be a little intimidating to hear. And that for many people, they're like, let's, how do we get to that first $10,000? So I would love to kind of deep dive into that. And I feel like it's been a while since I've heard an episode where you really talk about that first $10,000. One of the things that I've done with your site in particular, I've followed it for years, I've read it for years, because of one of your blog posts, actually one of your guest posts, I started a business related to one of the posts that was shared on your site. Can get into that later. But one of the things I've done is I love to look at income reports. I love it. I love it. I love it. And one of the things that I noticed is each blog has its own mix. And so I think for a lot of people, it gets very frustrating because they miss out on the fact that each blog has its own specific mix. So when you were first starting, I looked at your income reports. You were doing freelance writing, side hustles, things like that. I want to know, when did you start giving up on some income streams to focus on others, specifically the passive income? Like, what made you think that that was the right timing?
Yeah, so I kind of want to rewind just a little tiny bit. You're mentioning like the income reports and how $100,000 seems like so much money. I just want to quickly say that when I first started noticing income reports around 6 months after I started making sense of sense. I remember people's income reports saying like, oh, I made $10,000 a month. I made $20,000 a month, or I made like $150,000 last month. And I remember looking at those and thinking, wow, I would be happy with just like $100 a month or $1,000 a month. So, I mean, everyone has to start somewhere. So I always like to point that out. Because I mean, I felt like the exact same way as brand new bloggers have felt too. Everyone starts in the beginning. But anyways, to go back to your question about when I finally got rid of the different income streams, I want to say it was back in 2014 or 2015. It was shortly after I turned my blog into my full-time income and I left my day job as a financial analyst. At that time, a lot of my income was through like social media management, staff writing, and stuff like that. And I realized that my blog, Making Sense of Sense, was suffering because I wasn't spending the amount of time that I wanted to on it. I wasn't focused on Making Sense of Sense because I had all these different clients and I spent all of my time working for other clients. And while that's great for tons of people, I know lots of people who are successful freelance writers, successful social media managers. I just came to realize that it wasn't for me. I didn't have passion in it like I did Making Sense of Sense. So one day I just decided to fire all of my freelance clients and go all in on Making Sense of Sense. It was super scary to do. It was definitely not a decision that I took lightly because so much of my income did come from the freelancing that I was doing. But I realized, just like I did when I left my day job, I just had to make another jump.
When you made that jump, what were some, so there's a logic behind growing affiliate income and just income with your website. So could you walk us through some of the things that, some of the tasks that you did and areas of focus that you focused on to make your blog income grow?
Yeah, so I mainly focused on all the different blog monetization methods that I do right now. So I spent more time focusing on affiliate marketing. That was probably the number one thing that I did because I was already making like sponsored post income, display advertising income, and stuff like that. But I wasn't really making affiliate income. And I saw all these other bloggers' income reports talking about affiliate marketing. And I really loved the idea of it, especially since me and my husband were both just at home. We both quit our day jobs. We didn't have to be bound by home. So affiliate marketing just seemed super super interesting and super good for what we wanted to do in life, which was to travel more. And I really liked how affiliate marketing, you could create something now and then you could continue to earn money down the line from it. So I spent pretty much day and night trying to figure out affiliate marketing. And it wasn't as hard as I thought it was. Like before, I thought you had to have like a huge audience. You had to have like tons of blog posts. You had to be really good at SEO. And I realized that you really just don't need all of that crazy stuff. All you need is a really good blog and high quality content to start with.
You mentioned the amount of content. How many posts would you say you were producing at that time?
So at that time, I was definitely publishing a lot more content. When I first started Making Sense of Sense, like I said, I didn't know like what blogs were. I didn't really understand it. I was publishing like twice a day and they were like really short articles. Whoa. And yeah, I mean, they were just like, they're nonsense. Like when you look back, you'll look at them and you'll be like, that's a blog post. They were just really bizarre. Like I was weird back then. I don't know. I just published like twice a day. And now I'm down to like once to twice a week. So it's a lot better now.
How long did it take for you to cut down that frequency? That's interesting to me.
It went pretty quick. I eventually went from two times a day to wrote like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday after that. So five times a week. And then eventually I did Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And now I'm just like Monday, Wednesday. So it pretty much like once a year, I guess I would slice it in half.
It feels like you're working smarter versus harder.
Yeah, definitely.
What would you say is the difference between blogging in 2011 versus now?
So when I first started Making Sense of Sense back then, even though it was just a hobby, I still remember being told blogging is dead. What are you doing starting a blog? Like you're just wasting your time. And today I hear that too. Blogging is dead. It's 2018, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But no, I definitely think blogging is still very similar, and I expect it to continue to grow well into the future. Yesterday, I was reading some stats on how companies perceive online influencers, such as bloggers, and the average marketer and company actually perceives that bloggers and online influencers are valued more than like commercials or celebrity ads. So I was like super surprised by that because I figured that was coming, but to see that like 70% of marketers think that bloggers and Instagrammers and stuff are better than a celebrity advertisement, I thought that was like just super amazing to see.
That's actually a huge statistic to kind of, for people who are thinking about blogging or thinking about growing their brand, like they're already involved in it now or on YouTube, what have you. That's one of those things where you side-eye it and think, holy crap, that's a very large number.
Yeah, well, if you think about it, whenever I buy something, I never look to see if, like, does a celebrity have it or what's the celebrity using? I almost always go to, like, what's my favorite YouTuber using? Like, how are they solving this pain point for them? Or what's my favorite blogger doing with what financial product is my favorite blogging expert using? Stuff like that. I don't look to see what celebrities are using. And I think that was definitely a way, like, 10 years ago, like, people would look to see, like, what their favorite actress or favorite actor was using. But today, I definitely think it's more personable and people like to see what a normal person is using.
You created a course, Making Sense of Affiliate Marketing, and I would love to hear what went into you deciding to do that. Was it a good idea? And what you would advise people who are on the fence about building their own product?
Yeah, so I started Making Sense of Affiliate Marketing kind of on a whim. I was in a mastermind with two other course creators who had super successful courses. And At that time, I did not have any products. And they kept telling me, like, Michelle, I need to start a product, at least start with an ebook or something like that. And I was actually going to start with an ebook, and I started writing it and realized that I had way too much content for an ebook, way too many actionable things that I wanted to put. And I realized that I needed a course. So Making Sense of Affiliate Marketing came out of that. And it was definitely very scary to start because I kept thinking, like, do I really have enough to teach? Will people judge me for creating this? Will people think I'm crazy, that I'm not, like, smart enough to be talking about the subject? And I definitely had a lot of things that were holding me back. So the launch process, like, was kind of dragged out because of that. I was definitely my own worst enemy at that time.
What surprised you once you released the course in terms of feedback and whatnot?
Everyone definitely loves it. I have a very low refund rate. I get tons of great testimonials pretty much every single day about the course. I guess I just didn't expect it to be so popular, especially for my very first product. I remember being told, like, your first product is going to be a flop, no matter how great you think it is, no matter how much time you put towards it. But this course has definitely been going very, very strong for the past almost 2.5 years, and it's not really showing any signs of slowing down.
Michelle, I'm going to be honest. I'm surprised that the price is still so low. So people, you got to get on that because I'm surprised. The course is so good. Should we expect different iterations of the course, or what's next in terms of what you're doing?
So I definitely am still updating Making Sense of Affiliate Marketing pretty regularly. I'm in the Facebook community group every single day. So I expect that to stay pretty similar except for minor updates. But right now I am working on a course about sponsored posts called Making Sense of Sponsored Posts. Yeah, I'm actually writing that today. I'm hoping to finish it today, actually. And I'm hoping to launch it in the next 1 to 3 months. I was supposed to launch it earlier this year, but we moved onto the boat and that kind of dragged everything else out.
I want to talk about the boat in a second, but if there was someone listening to this show, like, we're talking really quickly, you're busy. I really appreciate that you gave me the time to have this quick conversation with you. But if someone was thinking, hey, I've been on the fence about starting this blog thing or whatever online endeavor for 2019, what advice would you give them?
I would just tell them just to start. Blogs are so affordable to start. You can pretty much start one for less than $50. You can start a free one too if you really wanted to. So, I mean, if you want to start a blog, I definitely recommend just starting one. Write like 5 to 10 blog posts and see how you like it. Blogging is not for everyone. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. There's definitely a lot of work that goes into blogging, and I always like to point that out. But it is a lot of fun. It's definitely my favorite way of earning money online, my favorite way of being able to earn a living while traveling full time. So I definitely recommend just starting one and seeing how it goes.
Sorry, I'm thinking, and apparently I'm thinking too hard. Oh my God. That's kind of funny. Could you describe what your life is like right now?
My life right now, so we live on a boat. Is that what you're referring to? Do you want me to talk about boat life? Okay. So we used to live in an RV. We did that for about 3 years. A few months ago, me and my husband decided that while we love RVing and we definitely think we'll do it again in the future, I'm 100% positive we will. We wanted a new challenge and a new adventure, so we decided to move on to a boat. So me and my husband and our two dogs live on a sailing catamaran, and we are currently in Florida getting ready to head to the Bahamas.
How did you learn to sail when you're from the center of the country? I've always wondered about this, actually. Like, that part, I just don't, like, were you taking lessons? Like, how did this all happen?
So there's actually sailing in Missouri just because, there's the Mississippi and Missouri rivers. They actually say river sailing's, like, the worst kind of sailing or the hardest sailing just because you have lots of current and the river's only so wide and stuff like that. So my husband actually has uncles who had sailboats on the rivers. So he grew up not really sailing, like, actively with them, but he was out as a passenger a lot of the time and, like, kind of helping. So, and his uncles did a lot of sailing. Like, they sailed up and down the Mississippi River, down to Florida and stuff like that. So I would definitely say that they had a big impact on him and us. And last year we actually went on a sailing trip to the BBIs, and we, like, sailed to all the different islands. It was a 10-day sailing trip, and that was a way to see if I would like it, if we would like to live on one. And needless to say, those 10 days I think I got off the boat like 3 times, and that was just to eat. So I really, really loved it, and we both really loved it, so we decided to give it a try.
But how do you know how to sail? Like, that's the part I don't get.
Oh, okay. So yeah, so Wes kind of knew. Earlier this year, he did a 3,000-mile trip from France to Croatia. Whoa. He delivered a catamaran, and then he also did a 1,000-mile trip from Puerto Rico to Florida. And then we've done a lot of little trips on friends' boats. Right now, he's actually delivering a boat from Key West to back to our marina on a friend's boat. And then for me, he took classes as well from captains. He took an 8-day sailing course, and then we also had 3 captains come aboard our boat. I think it was 3. Was it 4? No, 3. And we had them show us different things. Like, we had a couple come aboard and just, like, teach us, like, the different cruising aspects when it comes to, like, sailing full time and cruising to different countries. And then we also had a captain come aboard who just taught us, like, how to dock. This was, like, a docking pro, and he just came aboard and just taught us how to dock for, like, 2 days straight. And that was definitely the hardest part of sailing. but yeah, so just a lot of learning. We have tons of books as well, lots of great YouTube channels to learn from. Learning never ends, and that's what we were really excited about when it comes to sailing, just that it's a really good challenge.
I'm cracking up that you guys use YouTube University as part of how you learn to sail.
Hey, YouTube's great for everything. So we mainly use YouTube for, like, inspiration, because yesterday I spent like 10 hours trying to find a leak on the boat. Oh. And that's, like, super frustrating. Like, I was talking to a captain on the phone. I was like, how do I find this leak? Like, Wes is gone. I told him I'd find it. And he's like, well, it could be, I hope it's not like you have, like, a pinhole size leak on the boat or whatever. I ended up finding it. It was just like a leak from a hose or whatever. But 10 hours of trying to find this little leak, like the tiniest leak on earth. YouTube is great because you can watch, like, all these great sailing channels, and it keeps you motivated because you get to see all these amazing places that people are going, and you don't want to just, like, move out of your boat right away because you're seeing, like, all these awesome videos, and it just helps keep you inspired. And that's what I really like about sailing channels. It doesn't make you want to throw in the towel when you're trying to find a leak for 10 hours.
Besides the leaky day, what's a day like in your life when you're working on your website? So I do know that you batch your work, but I'm curious about what your days are like, especially because you batch your work.
Yeah, so my days definitely vary from day to day. Like today, I am doing this podcast. I'm working on my sponsored post course, but I do batch work a lot of the tasks that I do, and that really helps. So an average day would probably be writing like 1 article, and answering a ton of emails, replying to comments, looking into my Facebook groups to see how they're doing, and mainly just brainstorming. I do a lot of brainstorming sessions to see, like, what I should be working on. But for the most part, I really don't work as much as I used to. While I still work a lot, and this week I've been working like 15 hours a day. For the most part, I usually only work like 10 to 20 hours a week. So it really just depends on the week and what's going on. Boating has definitely taken over a lot of my life. And it's really funny, whenever we're out sailing, and sailing's never like a short day. Like, you don't just go out for like an hour long sail. Usually it's like 6 to 8 hours or something. And I just do not work because I just enjoy sailing so much. So sailing has definitely halted my work a little bit, but I'm not going to complain because I really love it, sailing and working.
if you ever need a crew member who potentially might get a little seasick, I'm there. I'm just
we have a long list of bloggers who are like, sign me up. I want to go.
The problem is I do think I get seasick. So I don't know if I would be, I would have fun, but I might throw up a lot, but which is really What would you say people should focus on in terms of priorities? So, you know, you're, and we'll just talk about blogging in particular. What are the priorities that people should focus on? I noticed this year that things have begun to change for me because I'm not focused as much on metrics versus money. So I'm taking actions that will actually grow my income versus like spending all this time on social media and what have you. What were the things that really changed your trajectory in terms of earning more?
So for me, I've never really been like a super analytical person. Of course, I used to be like a financial analyst, which is super funny because all I did was analyze things all day. But when it comes to my blog, I've really never analyzed anything. Like the other day, I realized I don't even have like Google Analytics set up on my Making Sense of Affiliate Marketing, and someone made fun of me. Well, a lot of people have made fun of me for that.
Yeah, you're making money, so.
So I think it really just depends on the person. I know a lot of people love analyzing everything. For me, though, I like to just do whatever makes me happy. So I like to say yes to new opportunities as much as I can. But for the most part, I like to make sure that what I'm doing is right for me and what I'm actually going to enjoy. So for me, I love to write the actual blog post and Making Sense of Sense. So that's a big priority for me. I always make sure that I have time to write my own blog posts. So that's why I always batch work them and try to schedule them ahead of time. But I think priorities would definitely depend on the person. Another big priority of mine is a good work-life balance. I love blogging, but it can be so easy to work like 15 hours a day, like I said, or 20 hours a day. I mean, it's so easy to wake up and be on your phone or your laptop and work and then work all day long, not even eat because you forget about it because blogging can be so enjoyable for the average person. And then taking it all the way to bed and going to bed, and the last thing you do is answer an email as well. So work-life balance is definitely a big priority of mine.
What is next for you in 2019 besides the course? Like, what do you imagine next year to be like?
So next year, well, next month we plan on, what day is it today? Oh, it's, okay. Yeah, so in the next month, we're probably going to be leaving this marina and start heading towards the Keys and the Bahamas. And in 2019, I would mostly like to focus on just sailing and enjoying life and just really improving that work-life balance. For 2019, I don't know if I really plan on launching anything. I might launch like a few printables or something like that. But for the most part, I'll just be focusing on the blog and maintaining the products that I already have.
All right. So everyone, you heard it here first. I've got my hand up like waiting for the sponsored course. So Making Sense of a Sponsored, what? Say it again.
Making Sense of Sponsored Post.
Okay, that makes
it's a long
sense.
One.
So I've got my eye on that one big time. And Michelle, thank you so much for hanging out with me and sharing your wisdom. It's a quick and dirty dive into what you've been working on, what you've done, and just how you created the success that you've created. I'm so proud of you. And you've always been incredibly helpful. If people would like to reach out to you in some sort of way, what do you recommend is the best way?
Yeah, so there's lots of ways you could reach out to me. You can send me an email at michelle@makingsenseofsense.com. Just check out my makingsenseofsense.com blog. You'll find my contact information there. And then if you want to follow like my sailing and traveling, definitely go to instagram.com/michelleshrow and you'll find all my sailing pictures and pretty much just the behind the scenes of my life.
The pictures are really beautiful, everybody.
Thanks.
Yeah, I love the pictures. So
Instagram's my favorite.
Instagram is like my happy place because it's travel, food, cute fat babies, puppies, and bearded men. It's like,
yep, exactly.
You can't lose on that platform. So
no. And there's no talking, so that's nice.
That's it. I actually took off of my phone. I had to reorder my phone because it broke, and so I got a new one today or yesterday. And I was like, you know what? Instagram's going to be the only thing.
Yeah.
No Facebook on the phone. So anyway, thank you so much, Michelle, and I just wish you continued success.
Thank you so much for having me.